February 10th, 2010, Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. If you would all please rise. Gotta do roll call first, don't we? Roll call, please. Have a seat.
President Dahl.
Here.
Vice President Dean.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Director Hill.
Here.
Okay, now, if you all please rise. Join me in the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this takes us to item number 3, which is public comment. So if there's anything that you would like to speak to us about that is not on the agenda, this would be the time to do it.
Good evening. My name is Michael Teixeira. I'm a candidate for sheriff, and I've come down to introduce myself to the board. I was a highway patrolman for 36 years. I retired last May. And although I was born and raised in San Luis Obispo County, I spent about 29 years of my career working with the Highway Patrol in downtown Los Angeles. I think a topic that will strike home here in Oceano is my experience working with gangs. And one of the things that I learned working in Los Angeles in gang enforcement is that besides aggressive enforcement, gang diversion programs are necessary. One of the things I pledged to do with my candidacy is donate 20% of my salary toward gang diversion programs. I know the board's time is valuable, so I won't take up too much of it. If you'd like more information about my views, please visit my website. It's texforsheriff.com. That's T-E-X, the number 4, sheriff.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board?
Hi, Kathy M. Luciano. Two meetings ago, I came because I was real disturbed about the behavior of the board and what was happening. And I watched the meeting 4 times in December, and I spent probably 2 weeks crafting my public comments. And they obviously fell on deaf ears. Can't hear. Because the last meeting was by far even worse than the meetings before. And I just thought I'd give you an interesting insight. I was watching it at home, and my daughter-in-law and son are staying with me, and my daughter-in-law was sitting there watching this, and she says, well, what is this? And I said, well, this is the Oceano Community Services District. This is their board. This is what governs us in some ways. And she watched a little while longer through some of the worst parts, and she remarked to me, she said, wow, that's like the Jerry Springer show. She says, or just as bad. She says, I can't believe people sit there and say those kind of things, and people stand up and make those kind of rude remarks to other people. I said, well, that's it. I said,
President, board members, my name's Jeff Edwards. If you recall, I visited with you last week about the airport property, and I wanted to just speak a little bit this evening at public comment. And I'd like to thank the board and your general manager, individual board members, and the collective board for supporting the committee that will look at the airport situation. To frame the question, the scoping committee will be reviewing options in the event the airport were to close. And as you may recall, we have 12 meetings for the committee scheduled between March and August. It'll be the first and third Wednesdays. And every even meeting will have a specialist, somebody to speak on climate change, another individual on geology. And the second meeting, which is on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, we're going to have a specialist, a gentleman that was a former FAA employee, and he's an attorney now specializing in airport closures. So he's versed in everything about airports and their situation. So it'll be very good to have him. I'll circulate specific time and location next week, within the next week. Lastly, I'd like to just close by saying I will be back at least on a monthly basis to visit with your board and update you how the progress of the committee is going. And so with that, I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board? Okay, hearing none. Let's move this on. We're going to hold board member items for comment until the end of the meeting for time, and move on to item number 5, review and approval of the minutes.
President Dahl,
mm-hmm.
Can you tell me exactly where on the agenda you'd be wanting this? Is it after the public comment at the very end?
The board member item for
Board member item for comment under 10 or just
14? We'll do it with 14, which is
okay.
Another opportunity for board
okay.
members to
Thank
discussion.
You.
So, review and approval of the minutes. Any public comment on the minutes? Okay, any discussion or comments on the board?
Yeah, I have something on
okay.
this. In the minutes, the minutes are accurate, but what's not accurate is what I was trying to convey. And in other bodies that I've worked with, we operate usually under a universal Roberts rules. And in this body, I've had difficulty setting what I've been taught in the past and setting it aside and operating under the rules that have been created for this body. So many times I'll intertwine the Brown Act or Roberts rules, which they're not related to each other, and people have commented, and so I'm trying to break the habit of the universal way meetings are conducted and try to broaden my view and adopt the way the policies that have been put in place for this particular body. So I didn't quite know where to state that. The minutes are accurate. I did misspeak. You know, but I didn't know where to clarify it, clean it up, I guess, to say is that. And I have taken several one-on-one tutorials since the last meeting to figure out where I'm getting hooked up, because I am clearly aware of different forms of conducting business, and I just couldn't figure out why I was obsessing on Robert's rules here. So with the help of Mr. Hill and a couple outside tutorials, I think I'll pass the mustard now. So that was the only thing that I had on that one.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have a couple corrections, I guess. I believe Fire Chief Hubert was here at the last meeting. It shows that he was absent. Under board member comment, I wanted to see that the comment was included that there was a consensus of the board. This is in the first paragraph. They stated there was a consensus 10 years ago. I believe, in fact, it was 8 years ago, but I looked at the tape, and we said 10, so the minutes are accurate on that. On page 4, under new ad hoc committees, third paragraph, I believe Director Lucy stated she did not vote for President Dahl.
Anyone else?
I have something, a couple of things.
Okay.
On page 3, at the discussion of the auditor, we were told by General Manager Montemuro that our current auditor will not be doing the forensic audit, and he is looking into finding someone to do that audit. And then on page 7, under 13, I had asked about Tuckfield, and I guess I need to get this straight. I was told that he does need another billing cycle before he will have all of the information that needs to be completed. So he has two billing cycles now, and he still needs another one. Is that correct? Okay. Could we put that in there just so, because I was getting confused. I'm thinking I remember that. So we need another billing cycle, another 2 months before we get.
We're working on it as we speak.
Okay. So the last billing cycle is what we're working on right now.
The one that just went out on February 1st should be the one to do the data
from. Okay. So that is, the current billing cycle. He needs the data for the current billing cycle. And I think those were the corrections or additions, I guess you would say, I would have.
Okay, well, unless there's any objections, I think we'll send this back, have it redone, and then brought to the next meeting. Check on those changes.
President Dahl, I don't have any problems just making the corrections and filing. I'm comfortable, confident with staff's recommendations. So if you're looking to move it forward, I have my support on that. Instead of bringing it back to the board, I mean,
Well, there were some changes in here that were there were questions,
Okay, I just said that because I didn't know if you thought you had support to move the minutes, and I'm saying I support them.
I just thought that it would be more prudent for them to check on those, since there were so many of them, to check on those corrections and give us a fresh set of minutes that was closer to what the board felt was accurate. Okay, that takes us on to item number six. 6A is a report by Commander Haskell from the Sheriff South Station. Thank you. We appreciate you being here.
Certainly. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Haskell, Commander of the Sheriff's Department South Station. Just a few items to bring up. On January 31st, about 10 in the morning, deputies from the Sheriff's Department with the assistance of the Highway Patrol and numerous other agencies broke up a cockfight that was going on at 2109 Heidi Place up on the Mesa. We made 55 arrests and confiscated 120 fighting birds. Some of them were extremely damaged due to some fights that were going on and had to be euthanized on the spot. A gentleman by the name of Raymond Pinon Gutierrez from rural Rio Grande was arrested for actually running the entire operation, and we're still working on some follow-up on that case. On February 1st, at about 12:41 a.m., we had deputies on patrol over in Napomo and responded to a theft report. While driving to the location, they saw a male subject pushing a motorcycle across Teff Street and thought that was suspicious, so stopped him. Turned out the motorcycle plus an additional motorcycle had been stolen from the location that they were responding to over on Price. So a gentleman by the name of Sean Toops and a juvenile male were arrested for stealing the motorcycles, and they were returned back to their owners. Some of you may have heard that we have a reward out for a shooting incident where a horse was killed up at Varian Arabian Horse Ranch out on Corbett Canyon Road. Crime Stoppers has now increased that reward from $5,000 to $10,000 for information that I would mention that. We're calling it the Nigerian scam now, a scam. We're warning the community it's involving Craigslist. Apparently the scam involves the subject sending a check for an amount higher than the price negotiated to the seller for an object. Suspect then asks the seller to cash the check, keep an extra $100 for themselves, and then send back the remaining via Western Union. The original check is normally a forgery. That's what we've been finding in these cases. So the person who does this is out all the money that they went to their bank and cashed on the check. So anybody who has been a victim of a scam similar to this, we're asking them to please contact us. And that's all I've got this evening if anybody has any questions.
Do you know approximately the value of those horses or the horse or whatever it was that was shot?
No, I don't. I don't have that information.
All right. Anybody else have any questions? Any questions from the public for the commander? No. Great. Again, thank you.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to take... Yes.
Honorable President, with your permission, we would like to have the fire department give their report next so that they can go back to work.
I was just about to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to take the next item out of order, which is item number 6D. And got a fire department report.
Good evening. During the month of January, the department responded to 71 calls. 41 were in Oceano, 12 in Grover Beach, 12 in Arroyo Grande, 6 with CAL FIRE, and we didn't have any calls on the beach in January. Of the 41 calls in Oceano, 30 were EMS related, 2 fires and 9 miscellaneous calls. It's averaged out to just over 2 calls a day. The run total this time a year ago was 64, so we're at 71 now, a few calls ahead of where we were last year. We've been doing some joint training, and the month of January included medical and trauma patient assessment, automatic external defibrillator training, and we also trained on fire ground operations using the truck, Roy Grandy's truck. The department also began training with Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Arroyo Grande with the full-time fire personnel on operations at Oceano Station in preparation for getting ready for potential cross-staffing with consolidation, possibly. We are bringing the captains from the other departments over. We're starting with captains, and we're training them on the operations, daily operations of this station, including one special thing that we have is our patrol for going on the dunes. So we've trained them on beach driving. We've had one complete session of that. Then station operations, and we're going to go. We're going to bring them back again, and we're going to do a review on both items. So the focus was familiarization on driving on the dunes, and then we're going to be transitioning to the training of the ladder truck. Roy Grandy, so we're cross-training each other to, so that we know the special pieces of equipment, the different pieces of equipment that we all have. Under equipment, Brush went in for its quarterly inspection. Both Engine 61 and Reserve 61, along with Patrol 61, will be next for the inspections. They go in every 90 days. They have to have certain things inspected and stay up current on that. The Brush also had its pump tested last week. That's an annual thing. We started with the Brush, then we'll do the engines next. That'll be coming up in the next month or two. So we'll get the pumps tested. We're doing that at Arroyo Grande, like we did last year. Saves money. Local 4403, in coordination with Five Cities Reserve personnel, held a family event at the Arroyo Grande Women's Center. This event allowed all the families from the three departments to meet each other and have dinner. There are certain people that we still don't know, you know, that our wives don't know, and so it's just a meet and greet dinner kind of thing. It went well, and that's all I have. Any questions?
Anyone from the board have any questions?
Can you remind us again the name that the collaboration has?
The consolidation of JPA will be called Five Cities Fire Authority.
Okay, thanks. I like that.
Yep. Any other questions?
Anyone else? We've got a...
As far as the specifications. We'll be helping him. There's going to be a couple people involved. It won't be a one-person thing. It's a big piece of equipment. It's going to take 8 months to build it. We only have a year to perform on the grant. So a year from last week. So there's a lot to do to get it. Since you're using somebody else's money, you can't say that you want a specific type of fire engine. You have to put the specifications out and put it out to competitive bidding, most likely, is how it's going to go. So it's time-consuming. And then, like I said, they need 8 months to build it. So
this $815,000 was the amount of the grant, and then $40,000 was...
But yeah, 5%, I think, was the matching.
So they... And how much is there any additional matching funds that are going to have to be come up with from the three departments? Is there any additional money coming?
There's just one matching fund, matching amount.
All right, so it's not a 50-50 matching though. It's 5%.
Oh no, okay. No, I believe it was 5%. Ours would be 5% because of the population and the I think they go by population and per capita income. In other words, if we were to get awarded the fire engine that I wrote the grant for, it's approximately a $500,000 piece of equipment. So the matching funds on that would be $25,000.
Okay.
5%.
All right. Great. Anybody else on the board have any questions?
I have one more. What is our percentage of matching funds they're talking about? Because it's going to be used by the JPA if we consolidate, and we hope we are. What would our percentage end up being that we
contribute? That is a good question for the chief that can give you... In fear of giving you the wrong number, that would be the best.
And we didn't have a fire department meeting because we didn't think anything big was coming up, so that comes
well,
up
we didn't really know it
before
until
the next meeting.
Just last week.
Yeah, so we'll find out and let everybody know.
That would be
know.
A good question for Chief Hubert.
Yes, we will ask him.
Because I don't want to speculate on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any questions, comments from the public? All right. Thank you for your report.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Item number 6B, administration report.
Okay. For the month of January, we continue with our routine jobs of doing payrolls, warrant registers, board packets. And we also send out the postcards and notify the local newspapers of the vacancy of the board. Staff prepared the annual wage statements, the W-2s and 1099s for the directors and other providers for the 2009 calendar year, and all the recipients' copies were mailed before the deadline, and also the quarterly payroll taxes were completed. The monthly nitrate and selenium reports were done for the utility operations supervisor. Copies of those go to the state environmental as well as the county health department. And we also assisted with a compilation of water production figures that are being requested by Todd Engineering and also the well elevations. As you know, we did door hangers and turned off 33 services on January 12th for the accounts that had not been paid as of that date. As of today, we still have 6 services that are off. All of these are for vacant residences. When we do the utility billing, we also provide copies of the information that we generate to the garbage company, the city of Aurora, Grandy, and Rattleden for the various functions that they perform. We did have a WebEx session where we start on the telephone and then we're online all together at the same time with Rattlebank. And the purpose of that was, since none of us had worked with this before, we reviewed how to set up profiles that are used for direct deposits for payroll and payroll taxes, automated clearinghouse payments, and learned there were a lot more reports that we had access to that we didn't know how to even begin to know that were there. So that was very beneficial. It took over 3 hours, but it was well worth it. And we did a lot of paperwork, surprisingly, for new customers and people who are still trying to sign up for the auto pays. A lot of time was spent with contractors and developers who have new projects starting in the area. Just good to know that they're still coming out. Right now we're busy collecting payments. working on the audit and researching various methods of distributing our agenda packets and pricing it to be charged.
The check is made out to PG&E and it's brought down to the store and we process it, right? In utilities where the owner's name is on the title of the property because it's not to the renter, right? We're finding there's a glitch where the people who really need assistance in utilities aren't able to get the assistance because the water bills are attached to the owner of the property, and a lot of the assistance come from people who rent the property. So would you think about that a little bit, and maybe there's a way we can either type a letter saying, yes, these people do reside at this address, which would be good enough for the social services so they can still get the help with the water bill, you know, and the sewer bill, in the same way they do with gas or electric or something like that. Because I do know there's a way we can get around it so people, you know, can get assistance in paying their water and sewer bills. Okay?
I had an experience with one customer who is a renter, mm-hmm. his last billing period during the shutoff, who said they were going to get assistance from the Salvation Army.
Right.
But they had to get the assistance before the water was actually shut off. Once it was shut off, they didn't think they would be able to get funding for it because then there are additional charges on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't heard that one before either.
What we're running up against is that the water bill is in the owner's name, and the rent is, you know, so gas and electric would be in the renter's name. So anything that's in the owner's name, we can't get assistance for. So, but I know together, I mean, I know we can overcome this with just a letter of support, working with these nonprofits to say, yeah, we can type out a letter saying, no, this person occupies this residence and blah, blah, blah. I know it can be done. Okay, I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any public comment questions from the public? Okay, hearing none, we're moving on to item number 6C, utility departments. Phil?
Okay. We received two reports of sewer system blockages during the month of January. On investigation, we found that one of the blockages was in the residence plumbing, and the other was a main blockage. Our sewer fitting machine was down for repairs, so we called in the city of Aurora Grande. They responded immediately and were able to clear the blockage. R. Baker Construction completed the installation of the new sewer pipe on Air Park Drive during the month of January. They did a great job, and all the trenches have been paved and the streets been cleaned up. In the water department, there were three leaks reported. All of the reported leaks were investigated. Two of them were determined to be in the customer's plumbing. The other leak was a PVC U branch just in front of the angle meter stops. The crew had to shut down a section of the water system, but we were then able to repair the break. Routine jobs completed during the month included collecting regular weekly water system samples. We also collected extra samples for TTHM and general mineral analyses, and we collected the same thing for wells 7 and 8 in January. During the rainstorms, standby personnel received and responded to several calls for assistance, as well as to numerous alarm conditions at the well yard and at the lift station. The water meters were read during the month. It took us twice as long as usual because it rained every day. Other jobs completed during the month included maintenance work on the antique streetlights and the C-15 Caterpillar engine. Thanks to the use of a Baker Construction dump truck, we were able to clear a truckload of sand away from a buried fire hydrant on the corner of Strand Way and Juanita. The district produced 57.89 acre-feet of water during January. This was calculated as 41 acre-feet of state project water, 15.59 acre-feet of Lopez, and we pumped 1.29 acre-feet of groundwater. The total amount of water produced in January 2010 was 1.6% less than was produced in December, and it was 11.3% less than was produced 1 year ago in January. So I checked the rainfall figures, and we had 6.76 inches of rain this year in January, and last year we only had 0.43 inches of rain during January. So that explained that drop.
Great. Thank you, Phil. Mm-hmm. Any questions from the board?
I have one question concerning the streetlights, the antique streetlights. Are you finding a replacement, new replacement for the antique streetlights? Is that what you found?
Yes.
So that replaced the one that was hit by the car?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So where is that going to be placed?
I don't have to go into the shape they were in, the whole town saw it, you know. So have we decided whose responsibility it is?
Well, we worked on it a little bit. It was a joint effort between the county and us.
Right, but I'm talking about ongoing.
Yeah. They drilled by the Department of Water and Power.
I believe that they're trying to get easement for us as we speak.
Oh, okay.
So they're still trying to. The state has given the wells, the Century wells, to the county. Now the county is trying to give us easements so that besides the temporary repair, we have an engineering firm that has looked at a more permanent repair, such as a canister that would lock and a canister that would better protect the wells. But at this point, the lawyers are working on the details for the easement to the property so we can make the improvement.
So we're looking at an easement to get to the sample locations, right? And we will maintain that.
And to work around it.
Right, and we'll maintain that.
Yes.
And have we costed out how much it's going to cost us to take on that additional responsibility?
No, we haven't.
I mean, I think it's costly to our health because of the condition it was in, and I'd hate to see it get like that again, but it does cost to keep these projects up, so could you maybe look into that for me, too?
At this point, we haven't looked into the cost of maintaining them. We have a cost figure to upgrade them, but the gentleman's agreement is in the process of looking at to see if we can get either state or county money to help us maintain them and test them.
Okay. So is it fair to say that I could keep following up on this every couple months to see where we're at?
If we find out that we're going to get money, you'll be the first to know.
Okay. Any other questions? Any questions, comments from the public? Okay, this takes us on to item number 7A.
Item 7A is interviews for the board position. We presently have received four individuals have submitted the letters for their introduction for the vacancy on the board seat in alphabetical order.
Let me interrupt you. This item, I'm going. This item, I have financial ties with one of the people that is applying here. And so I do business with one of them, so I'm going to have to recuse myself out of this this item. It's either I'm working on trying to get a response out of the FPPC to see if I can participate or not, but at this point, from what I can tell, I'm not able to participate in this. So I'm going to turn this over then, I guess, to the Vice President for this item.
Well, can we have a little, maybe just a teeny bit more information, you know, as to how you can, you know, step away from the table one at such an important juncture.
Sure.
Just in a little explanation.
Sure.
And then also, too, is that there are other times.
Well, if, you know, I mean, I can, you know, I'd like to participate in it. And if, you know, we have another meeting before this has to be decided, and if we could pull this until the next meeting to now get a response from the FPPC, that would work, you know, would work better. And then I would know for sure whether I can or I cannot. But at this point, my indications that I have is that I cannot participate in this. And it's because I sell products to one of the people that is on the, you know, that's applying for the position. And so my understanding is I have to recuse myself on the entire selection.
Well, you know, I get so tired of...
Ryan, you want to...
Well, yeah, and
horrible,
then,
you know, bad girl, good girl game, but 2 weeks ago I went to Gina and I said, look, Gina, just answer my question for me. Here we have a check that's been signed by our president, right? And the check is going directly to one of his vendors that he works with on a professional level. And it's a single signature on this check. And you stated to me, you go, I can't control who works with who and who, you know, who...
It had just one signature on it, and that was Mr. Dahl. The authorization for the purchase, which was approved by the board, was signed by Phil Davis. Part was ordered, we paid for it. And I believe I told you at that time that I knew of no connection between Burning and Burndahl.
I don't even know who the company is.
And at this point, I stated, I understand your concern here, but talking about this particular vendor,
I'm just trying to use that as an example.
Sure, sure. No,
that's all. I wasn't trying to bring attention to any of that. I'm just trying to figure out, okay, I'm working very hard to follow the rules here.
Right, right.
The special rules of OCSD.
And I should let you know,
okay, so
we were contacted. I don't know if the first contact came directly from the president or if it came from the general manager. There was a concern because one of the candidates is a client of the president's, and his concern was, can I be involved in this vote because I do have a financial tie? The president has inquired into the Fair Practices Political Commission to try and get a direct answer from them. I don't know if and when that will come. But the research we've done, and we've got three different attorneys in the office who all agree that this is more likely than not, it's a conflict for him to vote on anything related to this particular candidate. Likewise, when we're talking about voting in a candidate, it's kind of a zero-sum game. If you're not voting for that person, you're voting against it. And so being involved in the decision for any of the candidates, we think, it's a conflict of interest that the president really should not be involved in. I was not aware that the president had contacted the Fair Political Practices Commission and is waiting a response. I would like to think that would come sooner than later.
I would hope so.
You mentioned pushing this off to the 24th, the next meeting.
And can you maybe explain to us the consequences of pushing it off?
The consequences for pushing it off.
Consequences to the community.
The consequences to pushing it off is if we do this on February 24th and the board cannot agree to any one appointee and no one's appointed, the district loses the board loses the authority to appoint the person, and this would then move on to the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors to make an appointment. If they don't make an appointment, I believe they have the option of calling either a special election or waiting until the next election, the next general election, to fill the vacancy. So if this was moved to the 24th and no action was taken to appoint someone, this is then in the hands of the Board of Supervisors, and it could potentially be that there is no fifth director until after the next general election in November, and then I believe we see it in December. So,
but that
I find that as a failure as a board
okay.
member. The town of Oceano voted for 5 seats to be filled, 5 people to represent us, not 4. Not one, Acton is 2, you know, whatever, you know. They voted for 5 people. And I think to put it off anymore is just, it's insulting.
Yeah, the only change would, you know, if it, in addition to anything as far as not being able to make a decision on that meeting, if we don't make the decision, can't make a decision at this meeting, then it's then we have one more meeting to where we have the opportunity to make that decision. Also, the community would lose one extra board meeting without someone sitting on it.
Correct.
That would be the consequences. You know, you have the other side of it is you have three people then making the decision instead of four. I can, you know, I don't know if, you know, at this point I'm expecting or would hope to get a response from the FPPC before the next meeting. And if it didn't, I've been working on this for, since I got the message from Alex.
Okay.
So, can you tell me when you contacted
him? No, I don't have the date.
I've
had this. It's been this month.
And so it's been in the last 11 days that you
believe it's. Let me look at the letter I got from Alex.
I think we sent that letter to you on the 3rd.
3rd, yeah.
Of February.
Yeah, exactly.
So you were contacted on the 3rd?
So anyway, that would be, you know, that way. If we set it off, it would give us one less meeting if we couldn't make our mind up. And then there's also the possibility that we don't get a response. You know, I don't get a response in that time either. When then,
so what has been proposed by the general manager is very similar to that procedure used in 2001. However, there is no official procedure that this board uses, so you need to come to that decision first and then, using that procedure, appoint or attempt to appoint a new director. And I do believe, Mr. President, that you could be involved in the procedural aspect, though if you think that in coming up with the procedure, the conflict that we've discussed is going to affect the way you vote on how the procedure should happen, then I would suggest that you recuse yourself from that process as well.
Okay. I guess the first decision is whether we're going to wait until the next meeting or not. So, yes, Mr. Director Hill.
I would recommend proceeding at this meeting due to the fact that the board has an opportunity now and at the next meeting to make an appointment. The consequences of not making an appointment is that the decision would be taken out of the hands of the board and move to the Board of Supervisors for the county. And while I certainly respect the judgment ability of the Board of Supervisors, one of the options that's available to them, as was mentioned, is calling a special election or combining with a general election. And that has very serious cost ramifications on the order of, the numbers I've heard are $20,000 to about $35,000 for the community. And I don't think that's an expense that we can afford. Therefore, I am opposed in general to allowing, I think it's our duty to make a decision to fill the seat for the following 8 months. It's only an interim seat until the November election. There is potentially a primary election, I believe, in June that perhaps if the Board of Supervisors was so inclined, they could have an election on that ballot, but that would still cost our residents a tremendous amount of money. So having it go away from our jurisdiction to a board that could make the decision that would result in imposition of those kind of costs is something that I can't support. So I would suggest that we proceed with this tonight, and in the event that we can't agree on someone, where we have a fallback position in that we can take it up 2 weeks from now. So that would be my recommendation.
Anyone else want to speak to it?
I do. I would like to see us go ahead with the interviews of the candidates tonight. They're prepared and ready here, and I don't want to prolong the agony for anybody. But I would like to see what the FPPC says as far as the voting. And, I mean, Vern would not be allowed to ask questions, but he could sit and listen and certainly be involved in the voting at the next meeting. But I at least give him a chance to look into doing that. So it gives us... We can, and it gives us time to mull things over too. It's not something where I want to make a snap decision. And maybe that is prolonging the agony, but sometimes you don't always know and you have to think about things. This is a very big thing for whoever gets this appointment. This is a tough go, it's a tough job. And I may want to think about it a little before I make a final vote, too, because I don't know if I'll be prepared tonight. But that would be my recommendation, that we go ahead with the interviews. We've got everybody here to ask questions and postpone the vote until the next meeting.
Do you have anything additional to add?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I'm a little uncomfortable about holding the vote. But as far as moving forward with the interviews and everything like that, maybe as time goes on, you know. I mean, it might come to a conclusion where, you know, the majority of the board does, you know, select somebody. I just don't want to box ourselves, and I do like the idea of hearing it now, because I'm not a last-minute person. I don't write proposals in the last 24 hours, and I don't like waiting till the last week. And that makes me not, you know, but I do want to move forward with the interviews. I just don't want to trap us into not...
Okay, well, it sounds like we have a consensus to go forward with the interviews tonight, and then I guess the decision at this point is a procedural. As far as the procedure for handling this, I don't see where it would have anything to, you know, where anything as far as who's applying would have any effect on working on a procedural issue here.
I personally don't either.
Yeah. This is a one-time procedural item, which is the only thing that would make me question it. But I don't see how it would make any difference. So I will participate in the procedural discussion on this.
There is something else I should point out real briefly. The way that the general manager has prepared this proposed procedure is really set up in a way that if you were to hear from the FPPC before the next meeting, and they said, President Dahl, there is absolutely no conflict here, you are more than welcome to vote. Or if they said, no, you absolutely cannot. Either way, you could still be put in a situation at the next meeting where you guys either have to make a decision, or if you can't make a decision, it'll be because there would be either a 2-2 split or in the case that you weren't involved, a 1-1-1 split, in which case I don't know if there is any chance to make an appointment, and maybe the only way is then to send it to the board. So as far as consequences, I know we're concerned about, well, if we bring this up at the 24th, we're waiting for the last minute, and if something falls through, it's out of our hands. And I think that is a very important point to bring up. You could lose that possibility and send the board supervisors. But I think the procedures can also be set up in a way where, practically speaking, either it's going to the board of supervisors or you will decide at the next meeting and there will be some kind of appointment.
Okay.
Or you could continue this item to another meeting.
You could do a special meeting.
You could do another continued item, continue this on.
But I would point out that the 24th is a Wednesday, so you'd be looking at having a special meeting.
Next week.
That
I don't know if we could get the answer next week.
Right, or within
that
would
time.
Would you be able to do it before the end of the month, and which time the power expires and goes to voice?
I see, because we could extend it to the end of the month. We have till March 1st, I believe.
Actually, I think it would be about March 3rd. Because
can you speak up?
Days.
We can't hear things.
I'm sorry. I think the day is March. It's either March 2nd or March 3rd that the decision has to be made.
Perhaps what we might consider doing is listen to the presentations tonight, and for I understand President Dahl's concern, and especially with the opinion of counsel that there appears to be a conflict. Perhaps the remainder of us can make a decision tonight pending or to become effective at or after our meeting of the 24th, I believe it is, the next meeting that's 2 weeks from tonight, such that if President Dahl gets, with your advice to President Dahl, it sounds to me like I would presume that the FPPC is probably going to concur with your opinion, but there's always the possibility they may not. So we could make a decision tonight to be effective 2 weeks from now, such that if President Dahl gets a perhaps unexpected ruling from the FPPC that he shouldn't, should not be recused, that we could redo the process at that time. That way we would have everything moving forward as much as we can with respect to the potential conflict issue and how that might work out.
I think that's a good pragmatic solution. The only thing I could think about, and I don't, those of you who've run businesses or been higher up in business probably have a better experience with this than me, but it seems if you were to make a decision tonight and then have to kind of pull that decision away, there could be some, I don't, beyond hurt feelings, I guess. It could kind of sour things moving forward. But then again, maybe it won't. I have almost no experience in hiring, so it's not something that I've really come up with.
Thank you.
Okay, coming back to order, we are now at the introduction of the staff report for the recommended procedure. General Manager Jim Altamiro, could you please give that?
Yes, sir. I would like to thank Director Dean. Last week sent me an email and asked if we had a procedure in place for this evening's event. So I asked around, and the staff that's been here a lot longer than I found a procedure that had been used at the September 12th meeting of 2001. So I sent that procedure out to the board so everyone would have the information. And then I spoke with our legal counsel, Alex, and I took probably 80% of the procedure that was used in 2001, and I spoke with Alex and made just a couple little changes to make it specific to this evening's event. And it's the two-page document that's agenda 7A in front of you. And I would read, like, for example, the last line on page 2 specifically says, if the board cannot make a decision at this evening's meeting, then the matter may be continued until the February 24th, 2010. So if the board has looked at the recommended procedure that I have and has no problem with it, I'll gladly start the procedure. Or if you have any additions or corrections, please let me know before I start.
What do you mean by start the procedure?
That's written on these two pages. In other words, if you accept the procedure as presented, just accept it and I'll proceed. If you have additions or corrections that you would like to see something happen that's not on this page, please share that with me.
Well, why don't you read the page so that the public has a opportunity to know what's going on.
All right. I'll read both pages in their entirety. Subject: appointment to fill an unscheduled vacancy on the OCSD Board of Directors. There are four individuals who have submitted letters of introduction to fill the vacancy on our Board of Directors. They are, in alphabetical order, Lori Angelo, David Ciaffardini, Thelma Hurdle, and Charles Nolenberg. The recommended procedure to conduct this evening's meeting is: 1. Announce the names of the applicants. 2. Draw the names of the applicants to determine the order in which they will be given their presentation to the board. 3. Invite in the order drawn each of the applicants to address the board as to his or her qualifications and reasons for seeking the appointment. It is suggested that each applicant be limited to 3 minutes. The board can ask questions of the applicant at this time. Item 4, ask for public comment. Any questions posed by members of the public to any applicant must be asked through the president of the board. Limit for each member of the public to ask questions should be limited to 3 minutes as well. Item 5, return to the board and offer the board members any opportunity to ask the applicants any questions they wish. The recommended action, therefore, your board is to: 1. Call for nominations. Nominations shall be received by voice. Nominations need not be seconded. After each board member who wishes to do so makes a nomination, close nominations and call for a roll call vote. Each director may vote yes or no for any and or all nominees. The nominee who receives the most votes, with a minimum of 3 directors voting for that nominee, shall be appointed to fill the unscheduled vacancy on the board and issued the oath of office. If no nominee receives a majority of votes, or if there is a tie vote, then item 2, call for nominations. Nominations shall be received by voice. Nominations need not be seconded. After all nominations have been received, close the nominations and call for a roll call vote. Each director may cast a yes vote for only one candidate. If no nominee receives a majority of votes, the board in conference, according to the Brown Act, in open session, determine if there is an opportunity to compromise to make an appointment. If the board...
If A happens or B happens, what is your opinion? They say, well, and they go from one foot to the other, they will not give you an answer, and you all know that. You have to have an incident happen before they rule on it, and somebody makes a complaint. So either if the president decides not to recuse himself and he continues to do it, and then somebody later could make a complaint to the FPPC if they didn't like that. Or if you think that you're going, that the FPPC would say it was a violation for you sitting there, it was a conflict of interest, then you would be better off recusing yourself now. I mean, this board needs to move on. I mean, you can't sit there and listen to this if you're going to recuse yourself at a later moment. You know, you're either fish or fowl, one or the other. And they're not going to tell you anything if you wait 1 week, 6 weeks, 9 months. They will not give you a definite answer. They don't rule on anything until it happens. After it happens. And then a couple months later, you get a little letter saying, oh, you weren't in violation, or you were in violation. And if you were in violation, then they give you a fine. So that's just what I would hope that the board will hear the candidates, make a decision, and move on. You guys have so much to do, and here, this is the middle of February, You're saying, well, we'll wait till the 24th. Well, if you don't get it done by the 2nd, then what? The Board of Supervisors decides? Do you want, I love them, but do you want them deciding who's going to be sitting in that seat? Or do you want to spend $30,000 for a special election? Or do you want to sit here and let it be open till next November and get absolutely nothing done for the rest of the year? So I really hope that you will all step up and make a decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board at this time?
David Chaffardini, Oceano. I understand, the difficulty here. I think I want to ask the question kind of to Vern. I think it's up to him to decide. He started this saying that there's a conflict. And regardless of what the laws will say, we've got some counsel here leaning one way, and perhaps this other board will make a decision. But I think I'd be curious to hear what Vern thinks, whether he thinks there is a conflict that would, be a detriment to the integrity of the board in his own heart. I'm just curious if you think that you do have a conflict, but you're hoping that some ruling later will still allow you to vote, or do you feel you don't have a conflict? I think maybe you're in the best position to know, and I think you're a man of integrity, so I'd be curious to see what you have to say about it, whether you think it'll compromise it, regardless of what the Fair Political Practices Act says.
All right. I am going to respond briefly to that comment. One, right now what we're looking at is a procedure to move forward on and not actually what, the process of selecting someone. And when it comes to the process of selecting someone, I will be stepping down at this meeting. I think I can make a decision, an unbiased decision in this matter, but I don't think that legally, or I'm not sure legally, whether I can be involved in making that decision or not. So that's where the problem lies. Does that clear it up? And if you're feeling that there's a problem with me being involved in the process here, I don't have a problem with removing myself from that as well.
I don't think I have a problem with that. I was just with you in the procedure. I just, I do think it's a good idea to try to take care of this tonight, just for a lot of reasons already mentioned by Barbara Mann. Waiting to the last minute, there can be problems. And I do think the way it's set up tonight that with the opportunity to ask everyone questions, and it seems pretty open, that you can really make a decision tonight. And I know that's what I would move toward, but I'll leave it to your wisdom, and thank you for your honesty.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board?
Carol Henson, Oceano. I would just like to say that I would
as well. So I hope that Oceano can move forward tonight expeditiously and appropriately. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to address the board?
My name is Charles Goodman. I'm also an Oceano resident for 35 years, and I think tonight we can indeed make a decision. I think we can make a decision tonight with the two out of three would be good enough, and I think the opportunity is just waiting there. Why wait till the last minute and get squeezed out of making this decision? And I also ditto what Jeff was saying about your willingness to step forward and do this and allow us to have the vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else at this time would like to address the board on this issue? Okay, well, thank you. I think that there's probably been enough said tonight as far as a feeling or a perception that there still may be a conflict with the procedural part of this. And although there may not be a legal one, and I don't feel personally that there's a conflict with me being involved in the process of or deciding on the process to be done here tonight, I I feel I have some valuable things to add. I was thinking that maybe the candidates, there's going to be an order in which the candidates come to the board to or come to the podium to speak, and I was wanting to put make a statement as far as maybe the candidates would be outside the room so that nobody has an advantage of hearing other people's comments while they're while the first the third person has the opportunity to hear the first two speakers, and where the first speaker doesn't have the opportunity to hear other speakers. So I wanted to try to make that opportunity the same by having everybody out of the room while the others are speaking. I will not, I don't want to leave a perception that there's a conflict here. And so so the perception is sometimes as important as whether there actually is a conflict or not. So I will step down at this point from this procedure and turn it over to the vice president and come back after the this item is moved on to the next item. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Okay, yes.
I just wanted to share the president's comments. That was going to be part of my procedure. I have a container here with the four names, and it was our intent to draw the names so that everyone would know who would be first, second, third, fourth, and then I was going to take the candidates out to the lobby and have them wait so that one at a time, depending on what number they drew in the drawing, could address the board. That was going to be part of my procedure.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice it in the written part, so.
I probably should have explained better on three when I said invite in the order drawn. I meant, invite them into the room from out there.
All right. Thank you. At this point, I'll turn the gavel over to the vice president. Do you want to connect it from where you're at?
Sure. Is there any more public comment regarding this?
David Chaffordini, Oceano. I wasn't clear. It sounds like the applicants are going to step outside. Is that the idea while some are being interviewed?
What my suggestion was going to be fair to everyone, is as soon as we start, we're going to draw. I have all four applicants' names in this container.
Sure.
And I was going to have the attorney draw, and the candidates, according to order drawn, would be given a number, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then I was going to let one stay, and I was going to take 2, 3, and 4 to sit in the lobby so that everyone would have the same opportunity to make his or her presentation and no one could accuse someone of having, taken someone else's answer or somebody else having made a better presentation and stuff. And then after all four had made their presentation, then they could, that was going to be my suggestion, just trying to be fair to all.
Sure, I understand. I see what the motivation is. To me, it seems like it should just all be open, and I think if somebody's...
Karen Whitehouse, Ian. Public meeting is a public meeting. I should not be any reason why you throw anybody out. Thank you.
Charles Goodman again. It's all going to be on TV anyways, so.
David?
Hi. Dave Angelo. Just so everybody understands, the purpose of having the candidates leave is, the way I understand it, is each candidate has to be asked the same question. So let's say there's a total of six people up here, and each one of them is going to ask two questions. They have to ask the same questions. So candidate one comes up here. He gets to know, or she gets to know, what all the questions are. I mean, candidate one comes up here cold turkey. Candidate two already knows what the questions are and has time to think about them and maybe prepare a better answer. Then candidate three has even got a better chance because he's really had the time to think about it. And, of course, fourth would even have a greater. So that's the purpose of that.
Okay. I'll go first.
So then I have a public comment for that. Jeff Pinek again. It's very simple. You submit the questions to all four candidates up front so everybody knows what the questions are. There you go. Public meeting's a public meeting. When you have a public meeting, that means that everybody participates. No one's excluded at any moment in time. If the same question will be asked of all four, state those questions at the outset. Thank you.
Director Dean,
I haven't brought it back yet. Are there any more public comments? Seeing none, it comes back to the board. Go ahead, Mary.
Maybe if we just announce what the questions are going to be, and then everybody can hear the questions, and then we can just restate them as they come to the podium. I'm just throwing it out there.
How many questions do you have?
I have two.
I have at least that many, and the public does have a chance to ask them the questions, too.
Right.
So
that won't work.
So whoever goes first, it's tough. What they've done before in these open forums is they've asked questions, and it revolves around instead of one person being up there before. So I kind of like the idea that... you know, they come out and answer the questions, that they are sequestered, so to speak. But, that's...
Right. What about if the four candidates sat right here and then people could ask just questions and name the person applying, you know, Miss Angelo. What do you feel about this? You know, and then the public. I mean, I'm just trying to think of a way to get it done.
Fast.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is I'd be glad to give up my island over here and the candidates could sit here and the board could ask questions and the public could ask questions. And
that's fine. We can just let them sit up here and
we'll
go out
sense?
To the Yeah, it does. So...
And, whatever's the
and I have
pleasure.
A pillow in my chair, so whoever gets it, you know.
So, is there also is there any other thing that you have?
Oh, it seems to me that a sequential process is probably the best, rather than kind of an open forum. Free for all, perhaps. I'm not really stuck on whether the candidates would be sequestered or not. I think the luck of the draw is a fair way to determine who goes first. Therefore, if the other people are seated in the audience or not, I don't have a particular preference for that, but it seems to me that the process that would, you know, have a numerical selection allow us to talk to each person individually seems reasonable.
Yes, second of that?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We proceed with the selection.
That's just fine. I will ask legal counsel to draw the... We wouldn't want anyone to think that someone had a conflict of interest. Would you please draw number one?
Lori Angelo.
Number two.
Charles Mullenberg.
Number three.
The Thelma.
And number four?
Will be David in, forgive me, Jeopardy.
Very good.
With that, I would invite the first person to the podium to address the board and give approximately 3 minutes of introduction and as to why they would like to serve on our board. Lori Angelo to the microphone, please. Thank you.
Another exciting night at the district, huh? My name's Lori Angelo. I think most of you know me, and a lot of you in the audience have seen me here before. And I'm not one to speak a lot of rhetoric over and over and over and over again. I'd rather get things done. For the people here in the audience, I'm going to read to them the letter that I submitted and then some of the reasonings behind my reason to run. I am interested in being appointed to this district. I've been here in the community since 1979. We built our home here. Been here ever since, and we've owned property prior to that from 1977. I've been married to David Angelo, who is a former board member, for 16 years. We've been married 36 years. We've got two children that we raised in this community. One of those children is a firefighter. We've now got two grandchildren, a boy and a girl, that have been added to our family, and they are going to be the sixth generation to Oceano. One of the biggest reasons I'm running is because I think that I can bring a decision-making process to this district. I don't have any animosities with anyone. I don't have any personal issues with anyone. I'm pretty neutral on most things, and I try to make my opinions that will better the community, not for my own personal reasons. I have been past president of the Oceano Improvement Association and secretary. I sat on that board when we were building the senior center and followed that through with the completion and the construction of it all. I've also sat as a treasurer and board member to the Boys and Girls Club. I've worked with the Five Cities Youth Football League for several years when my kids were involved with that. I sat as a board member. I have been a business owner for many years. We've had a variety of different businesses. I'm pretty well lucrative as to what I can do and can't do. I've got background in real estate, construction. I do books. I've been doing books for our own businesses for over 25 years. I do have some idea of how to do it, and I think I could bring that to the board as well. Because of my husband's tenure on this board, I have read all the packets. I have gone through all the stresses and strains of being a director, and I'm pretty much aware of what's ahead of me. I do have some issues and ideas that will come, hopefully, onto the board. One of the things I did find that kind of said it all was the mission statement for the Community Service District, which I'd like to give to you as well. Exceptional public service is our goal. I think we're working towards that. Oceano's governing body, an elected five-member board of directors, established the following mission statement for Oceano Community Services District. to provide the citizens of the district quality, innovative, and cost-effective services, including water, sewer, fire, protection, and street lighting services, and other miscellaneous items. Through
election had the district in your front room for probably 30 years almost, yeah. Or however long Dave was on the board. So I applaud you just to being able to manage the paperwork alone. May I ask you, do you know how many powers that the district is awarded by LAFCO? So how many powers we have that we are able to oversee?
Okay, yeah. There is water and sewer, fire, now anyway, lighting, and garbage, and parks and recreation, which it hasn't been real active. I know there's another one. I think that's it.
Thank you. That's it. So do you want me just to ask one of my questions or both of the questions?
Why don't you ask both of them?
Okay. And then my second question would be, do you plan on running for office in November?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Jim, do you want to proceed?
The district has had some turnover, as you're aware, in the general manager position. What do you see as hopefully we would try to retain the general manager and have some stability in our upper management, which has been arguably lacking over the last couple years. How do you see that as being an issue for the district, and what would be your position on that?
I think it's been a real problem. You cannot get anyone here for 6 months to a year and try to establish any kind of a working relationship, number one, but they don't even have time to make decisions, especially when the board meetings are a constant turnover and things are not resolved. I think it's important that you get a board or a general manager in here that's going to be here a while, that can work with the board and get things done, and the communication will flow between everybody a lot easier. I have met the general manager, and I've known several of the other ones in the past, and from what I have seen so far, I think he's more than capable of taking care of business for this district, and he seems to be fair and can answer your questions, and public can get to him and talk to him as well.
In terms of financial issues, there's been a number of things that our auditors have brought out with the management letters related to the audit. How do you see those as influencing the district in terms of things like abilities to get grants, other financing things going forward, potential for rate increases that might be necessary eventually? Do you have any insight on how we might improve our audit process, and how important do you see it is for us to cooperate fully with the auditors and get the audits moving in a more timely manner?
The audits are very important. It gives you a sense of where you're at with your funds and your monies, what's going on, what needs to be improved, and what is working for you. I know the other night I was here, and there was revision or review of the 2007-2008, and I know people ask, well, how are we doing financially? Well, the only answer you have is as of the end of the date of that audit, because everything else is not completed. To me, that's pretty much the heart of the district. You have to stay on top of these things. You have to be under control at all times, and it's whether you need to delegate differently or get some additional people that are used to doing budgeting and that type of thing in here is a possibility. Also, I understand that the system is pretty old and needs to be updated, and I think that should be a priority. You can't improve on something if you don't have the tools or the minds to do it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for coming and speaking, and I will be thanking everybody for coming and putting themselves through this. This is a lot. I have two questions for you. One is, if you were appointed, what are your personal three most important goals that you have for this district?
Financial stability, probably the first one. Making sure that our votes are heard in with some of the items that we're involved with the rest of the community, and overall improvements. Maybe there's some new things we can bring in to improve the district, to encourage people to come here, to spend their monies here, to live here, and work within those boundaries. There's a lot of things that physically could be done, but that all takes money, and hopefully we can get a little more cooperation with the county. I haven't had any bad rapport with them yet, so I think I'm okay there.
Okay, thank you. At this point, we will go to the public with any questions the public may have, and I will let General Manager Montemuro.
Can I just make a quick... I have to address the tap at the door. Is anybody parked in the parking lot next door in the apartment building? Because they're getting ready to tow cars, and because the sheriffs are all parked, State Parks is parked in our parking lot. And so I just wanted to let everybody know who's ever parked over there, move it, and they're letting their people in the front know.
Thank you. Okay.
Again, if anybody might not have heard that, if you're parked in the parking lot for the apartment building next door, they're requesting that you move your vehicle. And I think there's room now in the district lot.
Yeah, and State Parks people are getting the same speech.
Okay.
You mean what, State Parks across the street?
Pardon me?
Are you talking about crossing the street?
No, I'm talking about right here, the apartment complex right next to us.
Yeah.
We have several functions going on tonight, and State Parks is doing a party or a gathering along with this meeting.
Right.
And so we're jammed up. But thank everybody for coming. Anyway, just we got to get in our parking lot here. And General Manager Montemuro is
this,
going to
This brings
public.
Us to item four. I would ask if anybody from the public has questions for Lori that just gave her presentation, please address them to the vice president, and the vice president will ask, and we'll get you an answer. Any questions for Lori, please come to the microphone. Seeing none, that brings us back to return to the board and offer board members the opportunity to ask the applicant any, you know, that was because if the public had asked a question, then we were going to bring it back to the board to ask any question.
Do we have any follow-up questions? I don't think so.
All right. Then with that, we're prepared to have our
Shall we close it?
Yes. With that, we're prepared to have our second person, Mr. Charles Nuhlenberg, address the board, please. Thank you.
Many of you remember me because our mobile home park, Grande Mobile Manor, was in about, for a year and a half trying to get water from OCSD, and that was successful about 6 months ago. We were annexed into the Oceano Community Service District, and very happy with the services so far. And because we have our house and our mobile, we live in the middle of the mobile home park and we have 34 residents, there's basically 35 of us that are concerned about what goes on now in the OCSD, so I threw my name in. But I'd known somebody as competent as Lori was going to be here, I probably wouldn't have. But I guess that my strength, one of the reasons I thought I might add something to the board is because I've had a varying background in my business. I started out as a mechanic working for my dad in a shop, and eventually my dad retired and I took over the shop. We had about 6 employees, so I was in business. I had a lot of employees and learned how to handle situations dealing with mechanics and employees. I then went into farming. I farmed for about 10 years, and while I was farming, I couldn't make much money, so I also had to sell real estate at the same time, so I got a broker's license. And it was probably about 15 years ago, I did a subdivision in a small town called Kerman where we were farming, a 30-lot subdivision, and I had to plan the storm drains, sewer, water, and I got very familiar with, you know, off-site improvements, and so I have a pretty good background in all of those type of things. When we were getting water, there was a lot behind the melodrama that was perfect for doing a combined real estate office on the bottom floor and a residence on the top. And I was all excited. I found this lot. I had it in escrow, and I went down and did research with the county. And basically, nobody could tell me what I had to do to develop this thing. I would have had to hire an engineer to study. I knew there was a storm drain problem, but nobody had any general master plan. They didn't even have a good... they were able to give me no information. As a result, I just backed out and didn't go ahead with the project. And I see a lot of that happening. I've talked to other people that have looked into Oceano, and we need to have some method to survey and have some kind of plans for storm drain, sewer, and water. If we're going to ever develop, the downtown area and get some tax bases out of it, we're going to have to get with it and furnish information and let people know what's going to be required of them when they build or do a project. So that would be a goal also that I would have. And that's about it.
Thank you. At this time, I would ask the board members to please ask the same questions that you did of our previous applicant. Thank you.
Mary, do you want to proceed?
Well,
I'm just going around the way we
I know,
go.
But I guess, I picked a bad question. I asked before the powers that we have. So maybe you can explain to me what your understanding is the powers of the district.
Well, it's funny that you should ask me that question, because when I came to some of the meetings prior, we discussed everything sometimes except the duties that were actually given. As we're a community service district, and we discussed things like rent control and everything else, and I was almost to the point where I felt like standing up sometimes and saying, look, this is totally out of our jurisdiction. We need to stick to business. So I'm well aware of what what we're supposed to be doing, but I think the board members in the past have had a real problem with that. They get off on these tangents because somebody brings up a complaint that we have no authority or power over. And when they do, I think the board just say, why take up time to resolve some matter we don't even have any jurisdiction over?
So I'm just going to go back and ask if you can tell me what the definition of those powers are.
What the difference?
What do you understand them to be?
Well, my understanding of board member makes decisions regarding major things when they come to us. So, for the public works, sewer, water, fire, all those type of things, we make important decisions.
What was my second question?
You planned to run in November.
Huh? Oh, you planning on running for office in November?
I would wait and see how it goes.
So, yeah.
I wouldn't want to commit myself.
Non-committal, okay. Thank you. You know I can't change my questions.
You can add questions at the end, though. You could ask another question at that point. All right, Jim.
You touched on a little bit. My first question had to do with retention of staff and our turnover that you mentioned with the general manager, and how you saw that as being important for the district, and what you might do to help retain the general manager for a longer term.
Basically, just leave him alone. I mean, poor Patrick was just harassed constantly. He just couldn't do his job. I mean, you guys have to quit, you know, whoever's on the board is going to have to quit trying to micromanage your employees. It just doesn't work. You've got to have confidence that they're, give them a little bit of authority to, and, you know, listen to what they're telling you. They do it every day.
The second question was relating to financial issues and the audit. How do you, the auditors for some time have given us management letters that say that we have significant deficiencies. And I think the board has struggled with that. I believe we all unanimously agree that improvements need to be made, but I think we've given clear direction on that, but somehow those don't seem to be made. How would you handle something like that? What do you see as our some of the things we can do along those lines?
When I started a business about many years ago, I had an accountant and working with people. I've had to do it for in many different jobs and fields, and my farming for 10 years taught me a lot of patience. Things don't happen overnight, but you keep working at them.
And what are your three personal goals that you would want to have for the board to do once you were on the board?
Number one, keep a general manager and respect him. And number two would be to try to do something to help, as I said, develop some kind of general plans or surveys or do something so that people know what's expected to them if they do want to try to improve, downtown Oceano, increase our tax base. Maybe even go in, someday we could maybe even look at incorporating where we had a little bit of authority. And three is just get along with everybody.
All right. I think we're ready for public.
At this time,
questions.
I would ask if the public has any questions for Mr. Nolenberg to please come to the podium, and we'll address them through the chair. Any public comments? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
Okay. Board members, any more questions?
Yeah, I have a couple more questions. You've brought up past General Manager O'Reilly as an example a few times. And can you tell me, did you know if he was an interim or if he was a hire? Was he hired as a temporary GM or was he hired as a permanent GM?
He was hired as a permanent, I believe.
No, an interim.
Was he?
Interim.
Okay.
He was hired as a temporary director.
Okay.
No? He was permanent?
Permanent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I stand corrected, like, twice now. So, when I received his letter, well, that's another story. Okay, so, and then also, too, is that it says in your letter, right, it says, I'm a 59-year-old male with a very clean record. What is a clean record?
Well, I've been married for 40 years. I've never been... You know, never been in jail, never been arrested. I mean, there are people that are serving in public places now that don't tell you they have a clean record, and they find out later on this guy is, you know, served time in prison or jail or something. And I think people, you know, I think that's a positive that I've never gotten any trouble.
Okay.
Tried to do the right thing.
Great.
I even pay my taxes.
Do you think people who don't have perfect records don't pay their taxes?
No. Sorry if I didn't mean to point a finger at anybody with that remark. I'm sorry if I did.
I just don't have a clean record.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jim, do you have other questions?
No.
No, okay.
That brings us to our third candidate. Thelma, would you please come to the podium and address the board? Thank you.
Good evening. This is a great privilege, honor for me this evening. And I would like to introduce myself. My name is Thelma Lois Hurdle, and my family has resided in San Luis Obispo County for 54 years. I first moved to Oceano in 1970 as a property owner and remained here for 20 years, and I only left to pursue my career opportunities. I'm a mother of three, and my children grew up here, and that was really neat, and I have great memories. I'm a former real estate agent, and my first listing was actually here in Oceano on Wilmar Street. I enjoy walking on the local beaches and surrounding areas, reading, writing, playing golf, and listening to music. I'm a retired correctional officer, retiring from the classification of correctional counselor to specialist. I began my career at CMC, and during my tenure with the Department of Corrections, all 25 of those years, I made decisions. Some of them spur of the moment based on only the facts that I could see at the time, and some of them very crucial. And for the last 10 years of my career, I was in an administrative position where I also made decisions, but part of the officer interaction with local and national media agencies. I issued press releases, conducted press conferences, and represented the institution in public forums such as council meetings or meetings that were called specific to concerns that the community may have about what was going on at the prison. So I worked with communities, also the public, quite a bit. And as a correctional counselor to specialists, I was a subject matter expert for the department, where on a daily basis I worked to resolve problems that involved the daily workings of 33 institutions. Sometimes it would be a phone call saying this is going on and how do we handle it, and it would be research, writing papers that presented the pros and cons of the issues and then presenting it to the director for them to make some type of decision on it. I've written quite a few policy papers with the Department of Correction. And I was also the program manager for the largest substance abuse treatment facility in the nation at the time. And as such, I managed a $30 million budget that required monthly line item reconciliation. So these are the skills that I would like to bring to the board. And the reason I'm running is because I love Oceano. I think it's the greatest place, and I want to give back some of what it's given me, because when I bought my home, I was a 21-year-old single mother. And the town basically became my family. And the things that I would work for if selected for this position would be to establish fiscal accountability, and I think that could be done by completing all delinquent budgets, delinquent audits, and developing a budget, and having an annual budget meeting open to the public so people could see where our money was going. I think that's very appropriate. I would like to close out all pending old business, specifically paying attention to all revenue-generating items, because I think it's vitally important that we start bringing in revenue to Oceano so we can move it forward. Thirdly, I'd like to see
community improvements, and I think that would be just best be met by working with all the entities and agencies that have a fundamental interest in how Oceano develops. I think that agencies should be able to come here and, whether we agree or not, to listen to one another, and those areas that we can agree on, let's do those things if it's going to improve the conditions of Oceano. But I'd love to see that happen. And I'd love to start the improvements so we can bring in new businesses, bring in families, people who want to feel like my brother-in-law. I just visited with him last night. He lives in, him and my sister, they live in Roy Grandy in the Village, but they own property here in Oceano. And he says, I hate Oceano. The only thing I like doing is driving through there. As a board, we really need to work very hard to change that feeling for people. And he is a property owner. He comes to collect the rent and then he gets out. That's what he's saying, you know? And I think working with the local law enforcement agencies and you know, not coming down on people, but a show that we have structure here would be very good. And I think we just need to work in that direction. And then finally, I also would like to see city incorporation. I think that would be a long-term goal. And with that, I'd like to say that if I'm selected for the board, I would recognize this as my professional duty and responsibility. And I say professional because I do get a little stipend, but my professional duty and responsibility to work for what is best for Oceano. Thank you.
At this time, I would ask our board members to please ask the same questions to our applicant.
Yes, I do. And I'm going to give you what I think my interpretation of it is. Okay, we do have a power over sewer, fire, water, and things like that, but I think as a board, it is incumbent upon us.
Retention of the general manager and the staff, that we'd had what's perceived as some turnover here. There has been a couple of interim general managers. And just your thoughts on the importance of that to the district and how you would try to facilitate that.
My interpretation of a general manager's position is that they manage the city or the district. That's their job. That's their area of expertise. And I think the continuity of that position is vital. You know, in reaching our goals, we have to have that type of stability. And I think the retention piece would be for everyone to be fully aware of what the duties are of the general manager. Allow the general manager to do these their duties. And if there is a need for intervention at the time it presents it, then you do. But until then, let them do their job.
Thank you. My second question is related to our recent audit reports that the auditors have told us that we have significant deficiencies in our financial reporting, and our audits have been a couple of years behind chronically. Mm-hmm. And that impacts things such as ability to apply for certain grants, and also it's necessary for rate increases should those be necessary. And so my question is basically how important do you see it to be become current with our audits and cooperate fully with the auditor and correct whatever deficiencies that we have?
Two words, vitally important.
Okay. And you kind of answered some of the things that I had questions about, but maybe you can expound on others. What do you consider your greatest strengths you are bringing to the board?
I think my capacity to get along with people. I work very well with people. I love people. That's kind of fluffy, but I do. And I actually have worked with and supervised, I'll supervise many people, thousands of people, actually, when you consider the number of inmates I worked with, and then staff and counselors and blah, 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 blah. However, what I realized in that capacity that I was working with people, whether I was their supervisor or not, and I never asked anyone to do anything that I wasn't willing to do. I like to get my hands dirty and make sure, I want to see things happen. I love it when a plan comes together.
And in addition to some of the things you named, what are your most important goals?
Well, I had five, and I think you asked for three, and I gave five. I just want to see Oceano become everything I think it can be. I mean, we're a beach community, and we're in the 21st century, and somehow we have to balance this out because the district has been stuck, and we need to move forward in the 21st century, taking all of the value that we have here in Oceano and putting it packaging it into something that will really add to not just the district, but as a part of the county. You know, the San Luis Obispo County allures people from all over the world. It brings them here from all over the world. And we should be getting a portion of that visit and that money. And people come here and going, whoa, this is a nice little place.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
At this time, I would ask if there are any public comments or questions for Ms. Thelma to please come to the microphone, and through the chair we'll get an answer. Seeing no public comments, back to the board. Does the board have any additions or corrections?
Well, we wanted to. I think we need to ask Mary's question of the of Thelma and of Lori, because those other candidates didn't get to answer those. So the last questions you had?
Laura, about if you're planning on running for election?
No, she asked.
No. No, about the, you had
about
a clean record.
A clean record and about General Manager O'Reilly.
Oh, I was responding to what the gentleman had submitted. It was a clarification on his letter.
Is that?
Mr. Nuhlenberg, that was a clarification, and I was the one to be stand corrected on Mr. Riley's.
So you don't. Need
well,
to
I
ask
thought he was an
those. Okay.
You know, so that was my mistake, but I need the clarification on what he meant by a very clean record.
Okay.
That's all it was.
Okay.
Now, Thelma had put a very clean record in there. You know, I'd have to ask her. But I do have one question for Thelma. Is that you do work for the Department of Parks and Recs? Is that
no? Actually, I resigned that position last week because I didn't want the illusion of conflict of interest.
Uh-huh.
And so this would be my job. This would be my full-time job.
Oh, don't plan on paying any bills with it.
Oh,
but, you know.
I am retired. And I am retired, and I have a pension. So, you know, this
okay.
I could really dedicate a lot of my time to, that's all I'm saying, a lot of my time to the board
to know
of directors.
Where, you know, yeah,
I
sit there. Thank you.
All right, I think we're ready for the next.
At this time?
Okay.
I would ask our last applicant, but not least, Mr. David,
David Schaffardini.
Thank you.
Oceana. May I pass out something? I have a letter that I got in support of me that I wanted to pass.
May I pass them to the board members?
In this you know, small community, it's kind of awkward sometimes with all the good candidates here, and it's a small community. I think it's sometimes awkward for people in the community to kind of recommend or endorse a candidate without hurting the feelings of other people. So it's problematic. But the reason I offer this letter is because I feel that some of you may not know me. I'm not really friends or acquaintances with anyone on the board here. So I thought having a letter from someone that I'm sure you're all aware of, our town historian, the literally wrote the book on Oceano, Norm Hammond, wrote me a nice letter and explained why he thinks I would make a good member of the board. And it was actually upon his recommendation that he introduced me to this idea of doing this. I hadn't actually, as of last year, hadn't thought about this. I haven't had to have really any interactions with the board. I haven't had any beefs or problems or things like that in the past, and I don't have any real direct connections. And I think Norm saw that, and he's a longtime resident and historian, and saw that I had something to offer here, and maybe that's part of independence, and it made me think, you know, I respected his viewpoint, and I thought about it long and hard about whether I wanted to get involved, and I looked into it, and I decided it's something that I want to do. There's been some problems on the board that people refer to. I you know, watch the board on TV, and actually, for some reason, I feel that I have a personality that may fit in the dynamics here, that I would hope that that somehow I can help ease some of the decorum on the board. I don't really know how to back that up and explain that, but that's just my feeling. And I wouldn't have gotten into this if I didn't think that I had some opportunity to maybe help the board get along better with itself. As I say in my statement, and I was a newspaper reporter and an editor for 20 years. I've been to a lot of these meetings from a different perspective, sitting and taking notes. I've been to, you know, sewer board meetings, many city council meetings, and things like that. So I have some idea of what goes on. I guess I look at this. I'm a member of the community, and it does look like, you know, things could be done better with our district. The fact that our accounting system, based on what I hear the board members say, it's not really working well, and that's something I would like to join with the board members and see what the problem is and how we can work that out. But as far as me, I guess the strength I have, I feel like I don't really have any agenda. I think a lot of times people get on the board because they had a particular problem, and I don't. I really know everyone equally. I've lived here for 18 years, so I follow things, so I do have an idea of what's going on in the community, and it's time for me to step forward and do the works necessary. I don't really have a good prepared statement here in this. I just as soon you ask questions, I think I'll respond well to that. And as I wrote in my letter, I welcome any questions, scrutiny. I basically think I have talents that would be complementary to this board, and unless there's somebody that can do it better, I submit my myself as a prospective board member. I'll be glad to take your questions, and I would encourage you to even ask more questions and to whatever you may want to ask. But just to conclude is that I've experience in newspapers and in business, so I think between those two, it gives me some practical experience to deal with these issues, and I look at it as a challenge. It might not seem here. I think I have a little bit of a sense of humor that I'd like to be able to bring into the board, too. That can always help.
Careful.
Now ask me your questions.
Mary, go ahead.
Be careful with that sense of humor.
Okay.
Trust me. We have five powers that we work under in this district. There are 27 total, I think. But I think in the area, and I only say I think, because I've been assured, don't say absolute, just say think. You know, but anyway, there are five powers that have been granted that we can carry out. And so when I speak about the powers, those are the five that I'm talking about. So before you answer my question...
Sure.
You know, can you tell me how you would help strengthen those?
Well,
is that close enough to the original question?
No. Mm-hmm.
Not even close.
No, you have to just.
We have five powers.
Well, as I understand it, the
just tell me.
As I understand it, the board is in.
Remember that sense of humor.
Yeah, the board is in charge of, for the district, water, the trash, the fire services, street lighting. I understand that the sanitary district is a joint power, but we do deal with that. And also in the wording of I don't know if it's the charter, there does seem to be language that kind of leaves it open to doing other types of things unspecified, but I basically realized it's, you know, collect billing for water and trash and sewer and
question those. Number two.
Okay.
Plan on running for office in November.
First of all, if I wasn't appointed here, I would observe whoever was and see how the board performs, and if I think it's doing a good job, I wouldn't see any need to do it to run. Assuming I'm appointed to the board, I think I will reserve that decision until, you know, getting on here and seeing how I fit in, seeing if it fits in, if I'm able to do something positive. And so I'm not going to make that decision now. I'm open to it, but I'm not set on that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My questions. The first one was regarding retention of staff in the general manager, that we've had turnover in the general manager over a couple of years. We've had two interim general managers here that were only intended to serve 6 months while we could find a new general manager. And how important do you see it for the district to keep and retain the general manager going forward, and what do you see as things that we can do to accomplish that?
Okay, in general, I think it's really vital to have a general manager that's around for a long time. I've seen it in another city. Actually worked in another city as a reporter, and they had 11 city managers in 9 years, and it was really a mess. And every new manager, they'd come and there would be problems, and it would always be blamed on the last one, and it just was forever, every new, you know, it was just, it was hard to figure out where the problems lie, when there's such a turnover. So I think it's vital to have a manager that's, you know, stays and does a good job. It's how to, make sure we have one that stays. I guess it's making it, clear what his job is, and clear knowing what the board can do or should do in relationship to the manager. The manager has a lot of power, our current manager. I don't know Mr. Montemuro. I liked his demeanor, and been very impressed with what I've seen. I don't know a whole lot about him in particular, or necessarily his background or skills. But I'm open-minded and hopeful. So I can't just automatically. I don't know enough about the general manager to say exactly how support. But I like his personality and everything I've seen so far. I don't know what else to say except that I think it's a good idea to have a manager, a strong manager, that's here for a long time and understands what's going on.
Thank you. My second question relates to our auditors and our most recent management letter from our audit, which indicated that we had significant deficiencies in our accounting system and various irregularities, I guess, that were shown in our audit. And also our audits have been chronically a couple of years out of date, and that impacts things such as application for certain grants and the potential for rate increases or adjustments that are based on having current financial information. How critical do you think that is to the district? What are some of the things that you think we could do to facilitate that and better cooperation with our auditors?
Well, from this position, as far as I know, I would say it's about the most critical thing there is. It seems to me the major role of the district is to bill people and collect money and take care of the finances. And based on what you're saying and what the auditors have said is that we've got some problems in the accounting, and that seems to be fundamental to the basic job that we're here to do. So it seems to be that's one of the most important things to get straightened out to some workable manner that we have confidence in. So I'd say it's totally important. It's probably one of the most important thing as far as I can see from my limited perspective. Exactly what needs to get done to fix those things, I don't know. That would be something that I would definitely want to explore and find out more about. As I said in here, my dream for Oceano would be to have a state-of-the-art accounting system. Exactly what that is or would be, I can't say, but that would be the dream. I don't know the practicality. I don't know the cost at this point, and I don't know what are the pros and cons of the system that we have here now. But, yeah, I think I stand along with you saying that I think that's, like job number one. Everything else seems to be after that. If you don't know how much money you have, and I understand it is we're 2 years behind on the accounting. We don't know if we've been charging the right amount for water and sewer and things like that. That's just my limited understanding. So that's vital to get that taken care of in whatever way we can. And it does seem, even to me as just an outsider, frustrating that that's continues to be a problem for many years, and with auditors bringing that up continually.
Thank you.
What do you consider your greatest strengths that you would bring to the board?
Honesty and integrity. Willing to be a truth teller. A reputation, I think, in the county for honesty and integrity and truth teller. I think I can look anyone in this county straight in the eye about anything that no one can make any claims that I haven't been honest and straightforward with them in anything. As I suggested in my letter, my knowledge and experience in newspaper work has given me an overall general idea of how these things work. But it also, I don't know if I learned it there, or so it's just my aptitude to ask the right questions at the right time, and I'm I'm not as good a public speaker. I'm a pretty good writer, and I could try to use that skill to explain what I've learned, maybe if there's reports to either the board members, staff, or the public. I want to make the community better. I guess I'm a little bit of a, I try to see the bigger picture, maybe a little bit of a dreamer. Maybe that's a negative, but also it can be a positive thing. I think there's a, even though, you know, on one sense our this board, the what we're in charge of is fairly limited, but there is some opportunity to be leaders in the bigger picture in the community from the board when these other things kind of get straightened out. I think there's more opportunity to do that when the nitty gritty gets taken care of, like how much money we have and things like that. But it would be nice if there could somehow something generated from the board that could kind of create more of a sense of community and happiness in the community. It's a beautiful community, and I'm always finding myself having to defend it because I think there's a lot of misperceptions out there, and that's something I would like to do. I love this community, and it's been, you know, ever since by happenstance ended up here. Didn't think I was going to stay long, and ended up being here for 18 years. So, and a willingness to work.
Thank you. And your personal three most important goals, should you be appointed to the board?
Well, again, I don't know how the roles are done exactly, but I mean, as just overall, I don't know if it would be my role, but I think, from what I understand, again, without having looked into things too much, is to get the finances straightened out, where we're getting audit reports where the auditors say thumbs up, it's everything's the way it should be, and you have the money where it should be, and we know where the money's been going. So I think it seems to me that's fundamental to everything else. We get that straightened out, and you can move into the next things. I think it is important that the board have a certain level of decorum, not just for themselves and the board business, but now that it's on TV going all over the county. The board represents Oceano the way it looks to the entire county, so I think, that can affect everything from, who wants to work with us or who wants to live here and even property rates. So I think that's important. I would really like to help bring some level of, joy and happiness and healing to the board. So that's number two, and I guess let's see. I wrote here, I said, I'd like to see unifying community celebrations. Again, that's, maybe down on the list, but when you think of communities, you think of, people getting together or having some sort of events where we, can smile and think of it as our community. And I think for various reasons, we haven't had a whole lot of that. I wouldn't make that my first priority, but I think some sense of community and fun. That's what I'd like to bring, some fun.
Thank you.
Okay.
At this point, I would ask if there's anyone in the public comment, questions for our applicant.
I encourage them.
Seeing no one come forward, I bring it back to the board.
Any other questions for the board? All right, you may be seated. Okay, and the next segment is?
The recommended action before the board is to, number one, call for nominations.
So, do we just make a nomination?
Currently, there are four applicants. There are zero nominations to fill the board. In order to get that nomination, the board member has to nominate the applicant.
Right.
The nomination does not have to be seconded. So
I'd like to nominate Lori Angelo.
I'd like to nominate Thelma Hurdle.
Are there any other nominations? Seeing none, the nominations are closed.
Just to clarify now, there will be a roll call vote for each nominee. Theoretically, each board member could, in fact, vote for both people by giving them a yes when asked. Unless a person or either of the nominees get three yeses, we'll move on to the next step. Likewise, if both nominees get three yeses, we will move on to the next step, in which case you will only get to vote for one of the nominees. And with that, I think we ask Gina to do a roll call vote for each nominee.
Okay, for Lori Angelo, Vice President Dean?
No.
Can't hear.
No.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Luthy?
Yes.
And for Thelma Hurdle, Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Abstain.
Director Luthy?
I also will abstain. Well, actually, can I take that back? Because I don't want to abstain on this vote. No.
Okay, because neither nominee has received three yes votes, we move to the next step, which we have the same nomination process. All four applicants may still be nominated. They need to be nominated by at least one director. The nomination does not have to be seconded. Are there any nominees?
I nominate Charles Nolenberg. Charles Nolenberg.
I'll nominate Lori Angelo.
Okay. Now, unlike the... I'm sorry. Are there any other nominations? Okay. Now, the difference with this round of voting is that you can only vote yes on one of the nominees. If one of the nominees does get a majority of the three, so two or three votes, that person will be the appointee. If nobody gets two or three affirmative yes votes, then we'll be doing this again February 24th.
Can I take that back and nominate Thelma again, since I do want her to get another vote from me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, okay. I didn't hear that.
I'd want to take it back and nominate Thelma again so that she does get another vote from me.
Okay, so there are three nominees.
Okay, yeah. So can you explain it to us again?
Okay, so there are three nominees. Again, Gina's going to do a roll call vote.
Okay,
except unlike this, the first round, where you could vote yes for each person, you can only vote yes for one person on this.
Okay.
Okay, the first vote is for Thelma Hurdle. Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Hill?
What are my voting options, counsel?
The same as any other. Yes, no, abstain.
What's the effect of an abstention?
Yes.
It's not a yes. We need two yeses for someone, at least two yeses for someone to be appointed.
I'll abstain.
Director Luthy.
What am I doing? Oh, I'm sorry. No. I just couldn't remember which candidate we were talking about. I apologize.
And this is for Lori Angelo, Vice President Dean.
No.
Director Hill.
Yes.
Director Luthy.
Yes.
And because a nomination has been made for Mr. Nolenberg, we should do a roll call for Mr. Nolenberg as well.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Vice President Dean, you can only vote yes for one.
So I have to say abstain.
Okay.
Okay. Director Hill?
Abstain.
Director Lucy?
No.
Kind of a little uncharted procedurally what to do next. It appears that Lori Angelo has received affirmative votes on from two of the board members, received a majority, and therefore has been appointed by the board to fill the vacant director seat. I don't believe that...
she can have my class.
Ms. Angelo, I do not believe that you will be seated at this meeting.
She can take my
procedurally,
class.
We
put her name right
did
there.
Not really plan for this. I believe that...
I have her to be...
I have to go to the rest.
And she's to be issued.
Damn.
Oh, I... Forgive me. Do we have the oath?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
The nominee who receives the most votes... with a minimum of three directors voting for that nominee, shall be appointed to fill the unscheduled vacancy on the board and issued the oath of office. So we had at least three directors vote, and the majority of the vote went to Ms. Lori Angelo, so therefore, at this point, we're prepared to issue the oath of office.
Sorry for the confusion. That was my mistake. Okay.
Gotta raise a hand.
So we begin with I, Lori Angelo, do solemnly swear or affirm.
I, Lori Angelo, do solemnly swear.
Or affirm. That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
That I take this obligation freely, without mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Pamela.
I think it's time to, we'd like to welcome you to the board. Here's your sign. Yes. We can have you seated right now.
Okay.
And we are going
to
take a 5-minute break.
Okay.
Thank you. We're on break now.
Bringing the meeting back to order. Yeah, this takes us on to item number 7B. General Manager Montemiro, could you please introduce this item?
7B is our 218 guidelines for submission pursuant to Article 13, D as in David, Section 6, A as in Alpha of the California Constitution. The document that's before you is a document in progress. I'd like to thank Director Dean last time for her corrections. They have been implemented. If anyone has any comments or, quote, anything else they would like to see entered into the document, you know, in essence of time, I would ask that they please just give me their additions or corrections, and I will enter them, make them, and return them to the next meeting, because now that we have it as an electronic document, that's very easy to do. And I'd like to thank both Director Dean and Director Hill in the past for having made these type of changes, because I know another water district that paid $10,000 for this type of paperwork, and I spoke with our honorable legal counsel, and Alex said that, you know, just looking at it roughly, it would be about $7,500. So I'm pleased that even though it seems like we're bringing it back and we're asking for additions or corrections, we're going to end up with a good product and we're going to save $10,000. That concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, bringing it back to the board. Any discussion?
Well, we've seen this many, many, many times. And I think you've got it to where it needs to go. There was one small correction, and I'll let you know about that. But it looks like we have addressed all the issues, at least from what I see here, and that I'm hoping to proceed with setting this aside and being ready to use it when we need to.
I thank you for your comments, and I ask the board if anyone has any additions or corrections, just give me the document and I'll make them.
I have some comments that were made by one of our constituents, and one thing that I think is rather important that was suggested is that we use the term customer of record in this document several places, and that term isn't defined. And the suggestion is that customer of record means the person whose name and address appears on the bimonthly bill. And I think the meaning would be when that is different from the record owner or parcel owner. And there's a couple other suggestions, but for the benefit of the public, this is what we're trying to do here is establish a policy or a procedure for if in the future, and actually it'll be when in the future, it becomes necessary to consider water and sewer rate increases. This would be the policy that would be followed under Prop 218 to receive protest votes that can be counted under the Prop 218, which is now, as the general manager mentioned, part of the California Constitution. So if you're interested in this, which I think members of the public should be, you can stop by the office, get a copy of this draft document. If you have comments, please, I think the board is most amenable to hearing those comments if they're made in a timely fashion. So thanks again to Director Dean, and I agree with her that we're getting very close on this, so I would recommend that members of the public who have an interest come in, look at the document, make any comments so that we can address them timely, and then we can move forward with this. But I also agree with Director Dean that I think we're getting really close.
Any other comments? So what's the wishes of the board? Do you want to bring this back to the board at a later date? Okay. What? Set a date or leave it open?
It was my intent to take the board's editorial comments and additions and just bring it back to the next board meeting.
Okay. Then that's what we'll do. All right. Item number 7C.
Item 7C is a resolution of appreciation to Barbara J. Mann for her many years of service to the communities of Oceano and Halcyon. It will be resolution number 2010-1. A resolution commending Barbara J. Mann for distinguished service to the Oceano Community Service District. Whereas Barbara J. Mann served the citizens of Oceano and Halcyon as an elected member of the Board of Directors from December 1998 through December 2009, And whereas, during her time in office, Barbara J. Mann worked diligently for the betterment of the communities of Oceano and Halcyon, serving on the Finance Committee, Oceano-Halcyon Advisory Committee, Community Enhancement Committee, and the Water Resource Advisory Committee, and whereas Barbara J. Mann served on the Fire and Fire Consolidation Committees, participated in the process of transitioning from a volunteer to a paid fire department, and in the formation of a JPA to consolidate the Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano Fire Departments, and whereas Director Barbara J. Mann served the district in an outstanding and selfless manner, serving as the special district's representative for LAFCO. And whereas Barbara J. Mann served on the boards that brought the garbage franchise to Oceano and the successful annexation of three parcels of land east of Halcyon Road into the district for water services. And whereas Director, Vice President, and President of the Board, Barbara J. Mann worked to promote openness and transparency in local government. And whereas the Oceano Community Service District wishes to recognize Barbara J. Mann for her faithful, honorable, and dedicated efforts on behalf of the citizens of Oceano and Halcyon. Now, therefore, be it resolved, determined, and ordered by the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District that the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District hereby extends to Barbara J. Mann its expression of esteem and gratitude, and hereby declares that she be wished a rewarding retirement from her duties as a member of the Oceano Community Service District Board of Directors. Upon the motion of Director...
When you're done with your report, then I want to go to public comment, and then we'll come back to the board for motions.
That concludes my report as presented.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay. Bringing it back to the board. Any additional discussion, motions?
I move that we approve resolution 2010-1.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? Well, I think, I personally want to thank Barbara for all the time she's served and put into this community, and I think she's given a lot of herself here. And so from not only from the board but from me personally, thank you, Barbara, for what you've done for the community. Anyone else have anything to say? Okay, roll call.
I just want to say to Barbara that we all appreciate the things that you've done over the many years I've sat with you on other boards and seen your dedication. We don't always agree, but we can get along with that, and I'm very proud of you and thank you for your commitment to the district.
And also, having made the motion, I also want to personally thank Barbara for her service to the district.
Okay. Have a roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Absolutely. Okay, carries 5-0. Okay, it takes us on to item number 7C. Presentations will be at our next meeting for the plaque. We have a plaque.
Yes, we do have the one for the framing here tonight for everyone to sign before we leave.
Okay, wonderful. And that takes us on to item number 7C.
7D, yes. 7D, Your Honor?
I'm sorry, 7D.
Resolution of appreciation to Cindy J. Winter for her many years of service to the Oceano Community Service District. The Oceano Community Service District, resolution number 2010-2, a resolution of appreciation, Cindy J. Winter, for distinguished service to the Oceano Community Service District. Whereas Cindy J. Winter was hired to serve the Oceano Community Service District on July 25th, 1983. And whereas, as administrative assistant, secretary, bookkeeper, and office manager, Cindy J. Winter has served the district well, discharging her duties in a capable and competent manner, often giving of her time and expertise selflessly. And whereas Cindy J. Winter works continually to increase her knowledge and skills, finding innovative ways to discharge her responsibilities for the betterment of the citizens of the communities of Oceano and Halcyon. And whereas the experience and expertise gained by Cindy J. Winter over the years of the service district's infrastructure provides an invaluable asset and comfort to the people of this community. And whereas Cindy J. Winter served the citizens of the district as its first female volunteer firefighter and emergency medical technician, providing our community with increased daytime response and protecting the lives, property, and dreams of our citizens. And whereas the Oceano Community Service District wishes to recognize Cindy J. Winter for her faithful service to the district. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District that the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District hereby extends to Cindy J. Winter its expression of esteem and gratitude for her faithful, honest, and dedicated efforts, and hereby declares that she be commended and complimented for distinguished service to the Oceano Community Service District and to the residents of Oceano and Halcyon for 25 years. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Any public comment on this item? Okay, bringing it back to the board. Any discussion?
Comments? I would move that we approve Resolution 2010-2, Resolution of Appreciation to Cindy J. Winter for distinguished service to the community of Oceano Community Services District.
I'd like to second that.
Okay, a motion and a second. Any further comments, discussions?
I'd just like to put out there is that Cindy's been one of the silent, quiet helper bees in this district, and I think all of us owe her a personal gratitude and thanking her for keeping us afloat for so long with her extreme knowledge in financial matters and her extensive education in the area of business management. And personally, I want to thank Cindy very much for putting in so many years. And I know every day was some days a good day and some days they were bad days. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Anyone else? Yeah, I just also would like to wish her a wonderful retirement in this, and that to echo the intent of this resolution, she was excellent here, spent a lot of her life here helping out Oceano and helping and working in the district, and did an excellent job. It was a joy to have her here during the time that she was here while I was here. So we'll go to roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, this takes us to item number 7E.
Consideration of a claim for damages by Bill Bookout. I'll pass to our honorable legal counsel.
Hi, good evening. The report I'm about to read to you, I will go through very quickly.
Sir, can I please ask that you speak up loudly? Because I really would like for everybody in watching TV and in the audience that they clearly hear this.
Okay.
Thank you.
I was just going to say the report I'm about to read that I had previously prepared for the board, I'm going to go through rather quickly. I believe it was handed out, and it is public record now. The background. In a packet dated January 6, 2010, and subsequently delivered to the Oceano Community Services District, known as the District, William Bookout purports to file a claim for damages to the District pursuant to the California Tort Claims Act, alleging that the District bears liability for statements made by one of the directors at the Director's District's December 9, 2009 board meeting. Specifically, he alleges that he was defamed by libelous statements made by Director Lucy relating to the district's then liability insurer's notice of its election to not renew the district's policy. According to his claim, a copy of which is attached to this report, Director Lucy made the following statements. I think it's real important that the community know that part of our insurance has been canceled because Bill Bookout sued the district, and we had a section that was canceled because of Bill Bookout dragging this district through the mud, literally. Mr. Bookout alleges that those statements are false and that damages are based on the fact that the statements hurt my reputation both as a business person and my personal life as well, end quote. He goes on to demand that Director Lucy make a public and written apology, a retraction of those statements, and that she immediately resign from public office. Mr. Bookout concludes that if Director Lucy takes these actions, he will consider his claim against the district for defamation of character due to libel fully satisfied. Mr. Bookout's allegations rise to the level of a statutory action against the district for the intentional tort of libel and or slander under the California Civil Code sections 44 and 46. As it is a statutory action, it is subject to the California Tort Claims Act and the Act's procedures. Under the California Tort Claims Act, Government Code section 900 at SEC, a party with a claim against a public entity must file the claim within 6 months of the incident giving rise to the claim. The board is required to act on that claim within 45 days after presentation. The board may, 1, reject the claim if the board finds the claim without merit, 2, allow the claim if the board finds the claim has merit and the amount demanded is reasonable, 3, reject it in part if the claim has merit but the amount demanded is unreasonable, 4, reject the claim or seek and agree to compromise if the legal liability or the amount demanded is in dispute. Although Mr. Bookout lists several dates in his claim, he is specific that his claim is related to the Board of Directors meeting of December 9, 2009, and lists that date as the date of loss. His claim was submitted prior to the expiration of the six-month period following the date of loss and has therefore been made in a timely manner. In order to comply with the requirements of the Act, the Board must make its decision and take action on Mr. Bookout's claim within 45 days after submission. Therefore, action must be taken on or before February 20, 2010. Following action on the claim, the Board must give Mr. Bookout written notice of its decision and the action taken. The notice must be in a form prescribed by the Act. If the action is to deny the claim, then it also must advise Mr. Bookout that if he chooses to file suit against the district, such action must be filed within 6 months from the notice's date. It must further advise Mr. Bookout of his right to seek legal counsel regarding his claim. The analysis. Staff has reviewed Mr. Bookout's claim. It is worth noting that Mr. Bookout has not made a claim for any specific monetary damages, has not offered proof of monetary damages, and has not even alleged that any monetary damages exist as a result of the complained of statements. To this end, it is arguable that Mr. Bookout's claim is defective. However, staff believes that there is a colorable argument that Mr. Bookout's claim has appropriately alleged damages, and staff therefore presumes the claim was made properly. It is not, however, necessary to analyze the factual merits of this claim and whether or not the statements made by Director Lucy at the December 9, 2009 meeting rise to the level of libelous or slanderous statements under the Civil Code. As explained below, the district has a basic and absolute immunity from liability with respect to publications and communications made during a board proceeding. California Civil Code Section 47 provides that publications are privileged in certain situations and thus immune from liability. To promote the utmost freedom of communication on subjects of public interest, public entities are absolutely immune from liability with respect to all publications made in the course of a legislative, quasi-legislative, or administrative board proceeding. California Civil Code Section 47B. As stated in Susan A. v. County of Sonoma, 2 Calap 4th, 88, 3 Cal Reporter 2D 27, 1991. publications in this context cited above represents both written statements and, as is the case with Ms. Lucy's comments, verbal statements publicly presented during a legislative hearing or meeting. Silberg v. Anderson. It is worth noting that in order for a publication to be absolutely immune, it must have some connection or logical relation to an official proceeding. Royer v. Steinberg. However, the test of logical relation is a low threshold and is easily met. Doubts regarding whether a statement bears a logical relation to an official proceeding are resolved in favor of a finding of privilege. And Twyford v. Twyford. It is staff's opinion that Ms. Lucy's statements qualify as publication, as the term is used in the context of statutory defamation, and the publication was made in relation to quasi-legislative and administrative board proceeding, namely a general board of directors meeting of the district. We therefore believe the district is immune from any liability for the statements made by Director Lucy at that board meeting, as those statements are privileged pursuant to Section 47 of the California Civil Code. Summary and recommendation. After investigation of Mr. Bookout's claim, staff determines that the complaint of statements are privileged and the district is without liability. We therefore believe his claim has no merit whatsoever and recommend rejection of Mr. Bookout's claim. Board action on this item is to direct staff to send the statutory rejection notice to Mr. Bookout. I need to amend that. The board action on this item is to either approve or deny the claim and notifying Mr. Bookout.
Okay, is that it?
That is it. To summarize staff's recommendation, i.e. the general counsel's recommendation, is to reject this claim as it is without merit.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item?
Kathy Young, Oceano. I find it really interesting because the last time I was here and made public remarks, I brought that up, and I had no idea Mr. Bookout would be doing that, but I said it was a possibility that somebody that hears remarks like that could do it. So I think the board needs to be really careful about making remarks like that. I think they're irresponsible, and it's probably cost us quite a lot of money for this to be researched and done by our lawyer just because somebody says something they shouldn't be saying. And I guess I don't understand the immunity part. Could I ask that question? Could that mean that a board member could say anything and they're immune?
As long as it bears a logical relation to the proceeding, the subject of the proceeding.
So there
are caveats among caveats to that, but the general rule is for libel and slander. If it's made during...
So it would be different if it was said, like, this person was a pedophile. That wouldn't be according to the thing. So that would be different. Okay.
Correct.
Well, irregardless, I think, since this has probably cost us a lot of money to have the lawyer research this and do this, the board should be really careful of what they say in public meetings, especially when they are broadcast and everybody hears them and sees them. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to comment on this item? Okay, bringing it back to the board.
I think I want to comment.
Okay.
When we're televised and to be able to just say anything about a community member, it's probably just a very good idea to watch what we say. I understand that any elected official can say anything about us, but when we say something about a community member, we really should be careful what we say and how we say it. I don't want to have to go through this anymore. And I'm sure none of us want any legal actions coming from this. Even though the law says that we're immune, it truly is not a good way to be in public. That's all I had to say.
And I apologize, I'm going to interrupt. We are approaching on the 10 o'clock hour.
Okay. What's the pleasure of the board? Are we going to continue? Or are we going to...
And I might say...
We have to.
I strongly encourage that you take action on this tonight.
I would move that we... continue past 10 a.m. for the following purposes, 10 p.m., thank you. Continue past 10 p.m. for the following purposes to complete this item, the consideration of claim for damages, to consider item number 9A, which is cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines, and to also consider the warrants.
Second. And what was the time? How long?
As necessary to complete those three items of business.
Okay, any public comment on this? Okay, any discussion on from the board? Okay, roll call vote, please.
This is to continue after
10. Yeah. You can just do a voice vote if you'd prefer. Doesn't matter. Do a voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Closed. Carries 5-0. Okay. So continuing on with item number 7E. Any additional discussion on this item?
I have a question for council. If someone is charged with libel or slander, is there an absolute defense to that charge?
Essentially, yes. Truth is a defense.
Truth is a defense. That's interesting, because I believe what Director Lucy stated was that our insurance was canceled because Mr. Bookout had sued the district, and I have a letter here from our insurance carrier in their claims department. It says the claim of December 22, 2005 involves a claimant by the name of Bill Bookout. Mr. Bookout has alleged his nursery was flooded due to Oceana Community Services District negligence of water flow from drainage channel and culvert. The insurance carrier won in court. The insurance carrier paid $190,000 for expenses only. This claim remains open since Mr. Bill Bookout has filed with the Court of Appeals. The insurance carrier has looked at what they have paid out so far in expenses. This claim recently has a $15,000 loss reserve. They expect more defense costs will be paid out in the future. It is the insurance carrier's choice to stay on the risk or choose to non-renew. With expenses paid out so far, they have elected to non-renew. So you can draw your own conclusions from that, but it appears to me that what Director Lucy said in the open meeting was the truth.
Yeah, but I think where the problem lies is that there is also the statement about... Okay, go ahead. You go
no,
first.
Go ahead. Finish. I just thought you were doing a list of speakers. I apologize.
No, it's fine.
No, finish what you were saying.
I think where might be probably part of the problem lying is that is the additional statement of dragging it through the mud. But I don't know. Yeah. Go ahead. That's all I was going to add.
Well, I appreciate all the public's and board members' comments, and I want people to be absolutely clear as to why I'm being this litigation is being brought against me, and it's because I have a fiduciary responsibility to the people of Oceano, and if it means spending money on lawsuits by a director who was sitting at the time and suing the people who had elected him, I feel it's my obligation as another elected official to bring that to the forefront of people who were actually fronting the bill. So he's suing me for telling the truth. Now, I'll take ownership of my verbiage, and at times I can calm it down and try my best to search for softer, gentler words to get my point across, but I stand with the truth. What I said was strictly about how much money this individual had cost each one of us individually. And if you want to criticize me for telling the public the truth, then I'll own that criticism. I'd also like to take a moment
I have sat, and I'm not going to go through my extensive history, but I have sat on a number of boards, and sometimes we agree to disagree, and I think that's a good policy to work under. But in public, we're solidarity, and we might have to work at it out in subcommittees and stuff, but in the public, when we're representing the public, we work in solidarity. And so I received this correspondence in one of my mini packets, which I have to thank the general manager for saving us hundreds in postage, getting us our packets. It's dated the 25th. Raphael, this Friday, January 22nd, in our weekly report from you, there was a copy of a claim against the district. This claim is made by Bill Bookout and is stamped as being received on January 10th. This is the first time I'm seeing this. Are all the other directors seeing this for the first time as well? Has Alex Seamus seen it? Where did he get it? Do we need and can we legally have a closed session on this? I don't ever want this to be done in a closed session. I want this to be in public so all the facts are clear and people understand why I'm attacked sometimes. According to the OSCD date stamp, it arrived early enough to have it put on the January 13th agenda, and it could have been put on the agenda for this next meeting on the 27th. Can it be legally added to the agenda as an emergency item if all the directors are seeing it for the first time last Friday night? If we can add it to the agenda, should we or leave it in the next meeting? This is the president asking the GM these questions. Should we have a closed session on it? The reason I'm asking is that Mr. Bookout left us out of this claim, but it may have expired on the 13th. But it will definitely expire after this meeting. This is Director Lucy's retracts her statements, makes a public and written apology, and resigns. Now, is this Mr. Bill Bookout saying you do these three things and override what the people of Oceano voted for was to put me in this seat? Or is this the president standing side by side with another one of his directors? As I understand the situation, Mr. Bookout believes that Director Lucy acted outside of the bounds of the director and is not personally covered by our insurance. I ask myself again, when the sitting director was suing the people of Oceano, was this question asked? I think he intends to sue her personally next if this is not resolved. Only his closest personal friends know this. My concern is that he does not sue her, and it costs her a lot of money in legal fees and/or losses. She may have some recourse against the district. My thinking is that since we did receive this and did not act on it in a timely manner, and there was an out that she could have taken, and she was deprived of the opportunity to take that due to our lack of action or our counsel on district's part, she may feel the district may be responsible. Would the district be responsible if she didn't get the opportunity to act? Do we need to respond to this? If so, who needs to respond? Are there any time frames? This is a reflection of the support that I deal with every single day with the president of this board. I feel attacked, and I feel alone as a director, and I feel that as a president, you've done nothing to protect your board. And so we're taking up more people's time, more people's money to fight the truth, because I stepped up and I stated the truth to the people, how much it costs, and I'm criticized for it, which I understand that's people's opinions, and I have full respect for that. But don't lead people to believe that this lawsuit, not the one pending against me, but the one that's been pending for 4 years against this district, anybody else who crossed Highway 1 at 13th Street, hasn't gotten $190,000 taken from their household in some way or another. So I will continue to inform the public, maybe in a nicer tone, maybe with a smile on my face or a sense of humor, or maybe I'll feel even a little feely-touchy at the moment.
Anybody else want to say anything?
I'd like to make a motion on this.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we reject the claim pursuant to Government Code 913 as read.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
Could I suggest an amendment to the motion that we also direct staff to send their statutory notices of rejection? Is that
that's fine.
In that case, I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. I want to respond a little bit to what's been said so far. My concern has been strictly for the district. The letter that we received, or the claim that we received, came into the office on the 7th. We didn't hear about it until the 22nd. I had no idea if we had 30 days, 60 days, what the amount of time was. And so these questions had to be asked to find out what our time frames were. I didn't know that information. And do you know when you guys received it, when your office received it?
I can't tell you the exact day. It was after the 22nd. It was before the end of the month. I intentionally put off preparing this report until after the end of the month. So we did receive it before the end of the month. I would guess somewhere around 25th.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Raphael may be able to tell me. I don't recall exactly.
Excuse me, Director Lucy. What's the date on that letter?
The letter that
letter are you referring to?
Dahl wrote to Raphael is dated January 25th.
It's
date stamped the 22nd.
No, the reason I asked because I'm trying to answer the question. I received that information on the 25th. The next day, I spoke with Alex about it,
okay. And
Alex informed me that we had 45 days to respond, that to be sure that I put it on the agenda for today, and that either you or him would, you know, research and follow it up. So
to answer the question, I thought it was around the 26th is the day that we...
So basically, we've had this here at the district through two meetings, and now this is the last chance we have to respond to it. And according to the claim, that there was that out left in the claim, and the concern was that there's possible litigation that could be brought against the district. And when you have possible litigation, that's when you go to closed session to see about that. And normally, if you have someone that can possibly make a claim against the district, that's not something you go out and tell them about. So it was a concern that since the date that was given as an out had passed before anything came to this board to act on, that that whether the person, Director Lucy, wanted to take advantage of it or not was immaterial, but whether that, but because that that was there and we didn't let her know about it so that she had that opportunity, and then later on we do end up in a lawsuit, or she ends up in a lawsuit, then what is the, you know, where is the district's liability? This is all about the district. And so that's why those questions were asked.
Then can I ask for clarification? You said right here, I apologize.
Point of order, may I respectfully ask that we call a question?
Okay, great.
Okay. Question's been called. Roll call vote, please.
Should I abstain? Since
I'm not going to even suggest.
Under our rules of order,
you can vote however you want to on this. I right now, this only has to do with the board and the claim made against the board. This has nothing to do with anything that's been brought personally. So I think you can rightfully act
right
on this.
I don't want to.
I apologize. I misunderstood what you're asking. So.
Thank you.
Okay, so roll call vote, please.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
And Director Christine and President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, item number 9A.
Item number 9A is a utility item, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. Continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the clearing and inspection of the district sewer and water mains. It's staff's recommendation that public contract code section 22050 C as in Charlie 1 requires that if the governing body orders any action after the emergency has been declared, the governing body shall review the emergency action at its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regularly scheduled meeting thereafter until the action is terminated to determine by 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue the action. The recommendation action before your board is to, by board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote, determine by 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue the action. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Any public comment on this item?
Carol Hansen, Oceano. I each meeting that I've come to, everyone, you keep. I just suddenly went blank. You keep this, it continues to come up on the agenda, and my question is, it was considered an emergency measure, and it continually is continued on. And I wanted to ask you, was there some damage done to the water delivery systems, are something in the district that we continue carrying this forward?
This comes from the earthquake in 2003.
Right.
And we've recently been able to secure funds from CDBG and DRI. We initially had help from FEMA. When that ran out, we looked for other sources of funding. And until all the repairs are completed and the funding is being distributed, it has a closing of March 31st to receive these funds. We have to submit our claim by then. We have to keep doing this.
So some of this road work and these things that are going on around the district have to do with some of the damage that was done during the earthquake?
That's correct, and it's basically on the west side of the railroad track.
Right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Any other public comment on this item? Okay, bringing it back to the board.
Move that we continue the declaration of emergency following the San Simeon earthquake.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay. Takes us to item number 12, consideration of warrants.
Item number 12, the consideration of the warrants. The vouchers are over there. The warrants are in your packet. I'm glad to say that the warrant numbers, the check numbers, everything matches. I would recommend approval. Thank you.
Any public comment on the warrants? Okay, let me bring it back to the board. Any
move approval of the warrants as presented?
I second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes. Can I ask once again that the warrants, being one of the more important things that we do in the district, be moved up on the agenda? It has a tendency, we get the warrants, you know, because of the nature of what we have to work under, we get them late, and they're at the bottom of the agenda. It's 10:30. People whip through the warrants, and yes, I think they're very tight and well put together and all that stuff, but I would feel better if they were moved up onto the agenda instead of continually being the last item.
Anybody want to comment on that?
Right after the flag salute.
Discussion on that issue?
Well, I think it'd be a good idea to move them up because that way we're not rushed trying to get them done.
Anybody else?
But we actually need to try to get all the stuff done and get caught up on it.
Anybody else? We've got two people feeling that way. Do we have anybody else? We'll get a...
I'd sure like to see us move through the agenda.
Yeah, I'd love to get through an agenda.
But as far as moving the warrants up, anybody else want to see that happen or not? Okay, so we only got two people want to see that happen. Okay, so... all right. So any additional discussion on the warrants?
So it just fails because...
Don't think I got consensus.
Great.
I mean, if I get consensus, I've got no problem with
it. I just want to make sure I understood where people
point
were.
Point of order, I think there's a motion and a second on the floor to approve the warrants as presented. And now we're talking about where the warrants are going to be and looking for a consensus on where it's going to be on the agenda. That doesn't seem to be related to me. Perhaps I'm missing something you could explain.
No, it was just a discussion on the warrants.
Good point, Jim. So we're in. Just let me know where it can go on the agenda next time after the motion.
Okay, I'll talk to you after the meeting. All right, so roll call on the warrants, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, we are now adjourned.